Kenyon Martin has joined us on Sports Byline. Power forward who played 15 years in the NBA after playing his college ball at Cincinnati. And he was the first overall pick in the 2000 draft by the New Jersey Nets. And he also played for the Nuggets, the Clippers, Knicks, and Bucks, and also spent a year over in China playing there. And also is on the Trilogy team in the Big Three League. Let me start off with the early years. You moved down to Texas when you were young, and your mother and sister were so instrumental in your life. Tell me a little bit about your mom.
Mom was my mom and dad growing up. I grew up in a single-parent household. So she had to discipline me and stay on me and make sure I stayed the course. I got off track because of my surroundings. I think she did a great job of that. And my sister was instrumental as well, just playing my big sister role, another mother, so to speak. She made sure I always had what I needed and went above and beyond, man, to make sure that I stayed out of trouble and just stay focused on life in general, man. And they are my biggest supporters, have been there since I picked up a basketball at 10 years old. So just a great family, man, great surroundings, great backing.
Tell me a little bit about the strength of a black woman in the family, because every athlete that I've talked to who's African-American, at some point in talking to them, they bring up their mother or sister or both. And there's something unique about the black woman in the family. Help me out here to understand.
No, just the struggle of being a black woman. You look down upon in society. You know, you look less than your counterparts of other races. But for you to be strong and raise two great children, it turned out well, not only in my household, but other household for women that's their kids' main source of income, main source of emotional support. You name it. And that was my mom growing up. It wasn't easy. Like I said, we grew up in the inner city and the projects. A lot of influences. I've never sold drugs. I've never been in jail. I graduated from high school and college. So I think my mother did a great job at raising me and made sure I stayed the course when it wasn't easy, you know. And then other mothers does the same thing in other households throughout the country, single black females. You know, that's huge. That's a huge accomplishment for you to raise a young man and become a man and he's doing well for himself, graduating from college, getting a decent job, staying out of trouble. You know, there's a lot that goes into that. You know, and I commend every black woman that's out there doing it. You know what I'm saying? That's doing it with no help from the kid's father, spouse, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's not an easy job.
Kenyon, I remember in the early part of my broadcasting career, I was up in Seattle, and I did the Seattle Supersonics. I was their play-by-play announcer up there, and I bring that up because I remember going down to Portland when Bill Walton was playing at Portland, and I did an interview with him, but I did not know that he stuttered when he was young. You had to deal with that as well, and he later said to me when I met him a couple years ago, he said, "I really respect what you did." He said, "You didn't cut the interview short." He said, "You didn't stop the interview. You kept it through, and you didn't embarrass me." You had to deal with stuttering as a child. Tell me a little bit about how you had to deal with it.
Oh no, it wasn't easy, man. You know, kids are brutal. Kids are brutal, no filter. They don't look at them teasing you as being a problem. So I got teased a lot, you know, because people don't understand stuttering. They just look at it as you have a problem. I got teased a lot, so therefore I fought a lot as a kid. I drew a line in the sand one day and I just made my mind up. If you tease me, we fight. You know, so that was my way of dealing with it. That was my way of getting my point across that you wasn't going to take advantage of me and you wasn't going to tease me and bully me. That was my way of dealing with it. You know, so other people find other ways of dealing with it. It affected my grades in school, elementary school, class participation and things like that. Cause not want to get up and speak in front of the class. In fear of stuttering. No, but just staying the course, man. I took speech therapy for the first time, I believe, in the third grade. So I took it throughout my elementary years. Didn't take it again throughout schooling. But, no, just getting older, man, and being more comfortable with it. I still stutter to this day. I don't let it consume me. you know, I just go about my regular day, have regular conversations with everyday people. And if I do, I go on TV, I do radio interviews. I don't shy away from it. It's a part of me, you know, so. And that was the thing. And then that was a great thing that you did of letting Bill get his points across and not cutting the interview short. Because that's the biggest frustration with people that stutter.
Yeah, like most people don't.
You're trying to make a statement and people finish your sentence for you.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You ended up at Cincinnati. You come out of Dallas, Texas. You end up in Cincinnati and you played for Bob Huggins. Two questions. How did you end up at Cincinnati? And tell me about the first time you met Bob.
How I ended up at Cincinnati was Bob Huggins. He saw me play out in California, I believe it was, in high school at a tournament. I played well, started recruiting me. When he came for my in-home visit, was great. It was he was honest with me, showed me that he cared. Because I didn't have my test score right away, so a lot of teams backed off, a lot of schools backed off. Because I didn't have my test score, but he stuck in there. He saw something in me, believed in me. And first conversation, he told me and my mom, like, listen, I'm not promising you anything. You know, how people was getting paid and all that. I'm not promising you anything but a hard time and a pair of tennis shoes. But you're going to get better, you know, and that's what he did. You know, he full ride scholarship, and able to get my education and to go out and play basketball. And he was a father figure, man. So he got the best out of me. He rolled me hard. It was tough love, but I appreciated every minute of it.
Yeah, he was really playing a frenetic brand of basketball. It was end-to-end basketball at Cincinnati when you were there. You get drafted overall number one draft pick in the 2000 draft. You go to the Nets. You play alongside Jason Kidd, Kerry Kittles, Keith Van Horn, and Richard Jefferson. And you helped lead the Nets to the 2002 NBA Finals against the Lakers. Were you ready? Was that team really ready for that type of challenge, a championship round against the Lakers when you faced them?
No, we wasn't ready, man. We were virgins in the playoff world. myself, Richard Jefferson, those guys. It was my second year. It was Richard's first year. You know, so we were like a deer in headlights. But we played well in order to get to that point. You know, we put it together. My rookie year with Stephon Marbury and those guys, we won 26 games. And then we made a trade for Jay Kidd, a few draft picks. Now we make it to the finals. You know, definitely wasn't ready for that juggernaut with the Lakers had going on with Shaq and Kobe and those guys. They were used to playing with one another. They had built something. But it was a learning experience that I think helped us the next year where we played better in the finals against the Spurs. Just came up a little short, Tim Duncan. Played out of his mind. Team was good. But I think we learned something from the first year. We gave ourselves a chance the second year.
Yeah, I know in that second year you play against the Spurs, you lose it in six games, but I could tell on the floor that you all were more in sync with each other. What was the turning point in that second finals?
No, just making it there. You know, it wasn't, you know, it's not easy to get to two straight, you know. But no, just making it back to that point and seeing how we put it together during the regular season and then leading up to the playoffs, sweeping teams in the playoffs in order to get back to the finals. You know, we put it together. And it's just unfortunate that management or ownership, not management, ownership stepped in and they ruined some good.
Yeah, the 2011, the NBA has a lockout. You decide to go to China to be able to play basketball over there. Did you know anything about China at all? And what did you expect that experience to be like? And how was it compared to or different from what you thought?
I didn't know what to expect. It was basketball. I wanted to play. I missed a lot of time due to injury up to that point. So I was determined just to be on the court and playing, man. And the experience was great. The fans welcomed me with open arms. It was an experience. My kids got to come over there and visit China. You know, so it was great. It was a great experience, but I was ready to get back into the league. You know what I'm saying? Once I started back playing, and then I was ready to get back.
What were the crowds like over there? I mean, I know they like basketball, but I don't think they're exactly savvy about the game. But how did you find the crowds in China?
Like, they love their, like, the home team. It's all the love, you know what I'm saying? So they know who their guys are. They cheer for their team. You know, there's not a lot of booing and all that kind of stuff going on. They cheer for their team. not really paying attention to the opposing team. But they're into the game for as much as they can be. You know, each game is sold out. They put people in the seats. You know what I'm saying? So they're basketball fans.
Let me ask you about playing in New York, because you were there with Jason Kidd once again. You were with Kidd, of course, when you were with the Nets and came into the NBA. But New York is a totally different environment. I suppose Los Angeles is close to it, but that's Hollywood. And New York is really serious basketball country there. Tell me what it's like for a player to play in New York and at the Garden.
It was great, man, but we made a name for ourselves with the Nets, with the people in New York and the media and all that. Because when I was there, the Knicks weren't making anything happen for the fans and for the Garden fans and all that to be cheering for us in the Garden during the playoffs. Huge, huge accomplishment. Just playing in the city, man. Playing the Madison Square Garden is like playing no other place, especially that's your home arena. People out there, they understand basketball. They appreciate basketball. They show up for basketball. And they appreciate people that play the game the right way. I had a blast in 2 seasons there with the Knicks. Wish it could have lasted longer.
One of the things that I know about you is you give back an awful lot. I was reading through some material. You've been active in support of the nonprofit, the Stuttering Foundation of America, and other foundations as well. Where did that come from?
Just being someone that's been in this situation and being this visible face and recognizable person from what I did, which was play basketball. But no, man, just understanding where I come from and understanding that at some point I needed help. You know, whether it was stuttering, whether it was me and mom being homeless, whether it was me needing funding for a trip, whatever the case may be, I needed help along the way, and people reached out and helped me. They didn't have to. I'm saying they didn't have to. You know what I'm saying? But so now for me to be in this situation, to be able to reach out to people, and whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whatever the case may be, whatever it is, for me to be that guy and to do it out of the goodness of my heart and not to do it for a photo op or because somebody's making me. Just do it out of the kindness of my heart, man, because it's the right thing to do.
You mentioned about graduating from high school and also graduating from Cincinnati. You graduated with a degree in criminal justice. That is something we don't hear a lot about athletes, football, basketball players graduating. What was the drive to make you graduate?
Started it. I'm saying I started something. I was there for 4 years. So why didn't I finish it? You know, I didn't graduate right when I left school because I got hurt my senior year, so I didn't get to finish my schooling then because I had other things to worry about. But went back and finished it. When you start something, finish it. And be the first person in my college the first person in my family that I know of to graduate from college. You know, it's huge.
Kenyon, when you think back over your 15-year career in the NBA and just basketball in general in your life, is there a particular memory that's kind of ingrained in your mind?
My draft day was huge for me. That was the turning point of my life, my family's lives, being able to provide for my mom and buy my mom a house and her first car. You know, it was huge. You know what I'm saying? It was like a lot of implications came from my draft day. So that day, because it just passed, it's so fresh in my memory always about that day. But when David Stern called my name, so I looked at the rest as easy because it was basketball. All I had to do was continue to work and continue to get better.
Well, I want to thank you for your time talking about your life and your career. It has been an outstanding career. Thank you, and come back and visit with us again, Kenyon, on Sports Byline.
Thank you very much.
Kenyon Martin with us on Sports Byline. Power forward, he played 15 years in the NBA after playing his college ball at Cincinnati for Bobby Huggins. And as you heard him say, the reason why he went to the University of Cincinnati was simply because of Huggins. And he was like a father figure to him. And then, of course, he was the first overall pick in the 2000 draft by the New Jersey Nets, and they had great success. But as he also said, they were not ready to go to the NBA Finals. And along with Jason Kidd, Kerry Kittles, Kith Van Horn, and Richard Jefferson and Martin, they went to the finals against the Lakers, but they were swept. We continue with more of you in America's Sports Talk Show.